And now Sarah Castor-Perry calls back to 1876 to discover the very first telephone conversation.
This week in science history saw, on the 10th of March 1876, the first documented two-way transmission of clear human speech between Alexander Graham Bell and his assistant, Mr. Watson, with the famous phrase, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." This first two-way conversation marked the beginning of something that is now an overlooked part of everyday life. And although this was one of the most famous occasions in the story of the invention of the telephone, there were many other players involved, not just Bell. Bell was born and educated in Scotland, and even as a child had been fascinated by the production of sound and language and how it could be reproduced mechanically. This early interest may have been sparked by the fact that his mother was deaf and his father worked as a speech therapist. As an adult, his first real experiments that led him into his work on the telephone focused on the artificial production of speech, using a set of differently tuned reeds, a bit like the strings of a harp, to produce different tones according to an alternating current that passed through them. This moved on to producing vowel sounds, which was something other scientists at the time had also achieved, much to Bell's disappointment. But he thought, well, if we can make vowel sounds, then why shouldn't consonants and articulate speech be made too? It was in the early 1870s that the idea of capturing a real voice and using that to generate the current that drove the artificial speech production at the other end really leapt forward. Several scientists across Europe and in Canada and America, where Bell was living and working, came up with solutions to the problem of how to convert human speech into electrical current and how to convert that back to speech again. Two of these solutions, the liquid microphone, an idea that Bell may or may not have pinched from the American Elias Gray, and the electromagnetic microphone, developed both by Bell and by the Italian Antonio Meucci, another contender to the title of the inventor of the telephone. The liquid microphone that Bell used in his famous demonstration on the 10th of March works as follows. The transmitting subject spoke into one end of a tube, and the opposite end was covered in a thin diaphragm of paper or animal skin with a small needle attached to it. When the speech vibrated the diaphragm, the point of the needle would become more or less immersed in a liquid. Another wire measured the change in conductivity in the liquid as the metal needle became more or less submerged. This changed the current in the wire, which caused a rudimentary earpiece to vibrate and produce a copy of the original speech. What's quite controversial is that this apparatus is quite different from that of Bell's previous experiments and was quickly abandoned by him in favour of the more efficient electromagnetic microphone. This works by the principle that moving a piece of soft iron in and out of a coil of wire that is held in a magnetic field will induce a voltage in the coil. The resulting change in current flow causes the exact opposite to happen at the earpiece. The voltage change in a coil of wire at that end causes a flat, disc-like piece of soft iron to vibrate in and out of the end of the coil, according to the frequency of the sound that went in at the first end. This vibration produces the speech. It is on this principle that most high-quality microphones, like the one I'm using right now, still work today, although those in telephones now use a different sort, the carbon granule microphone invented by Edison. The events of the 10th of March were soon followed by Bell and Watson in August of the same year with the first long-distance transmission over 5 miles. From here, everything about the telephone has been under constant improvement. The distance, the sound quality, the volume, and more recently, the wireless, then the mobile phone. The telephone has revolutionised our world. We can speak to loved ones, friends or business partners thousands of miles away or get help in an emergency. Bell's work was extremely important in realising the potential of the telephone, but we mustn't forget the other scientists who worked so hard and were just pipped to the patent post by a very talented, or just a very lucky, man.
Sarah Castor-Perry explaining how the words, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you," marked the very first telephone conversation, without which the world would seem a much smaller place today. Sarah will be rifling the science archives again next week. But that's all we have on this week's Naked Scientist Newsflash, which this week featured Chris Smith, Kat Arney, Dave Ansell and Sarah Castor-Perry, along with our guest, Professor Alan Fitzsimmons. The Naked Scientist Newsflash is produced by me, Ben Valsler. If you've enjoyed this newsflash, then why not check out the Naked Scientist podcast? Each week we'll bring you the latest in science news, along with interviews with top scientists, answers to your questions, and a kitchen science experiment for you to get hands-on with and try out at home. Join us on the web at thenakedscientists.com, and we'll be back with another roundup next week.
The Naked Scientist Newsflash, reacting to the world's best science. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.